Thank you all. I think we're also lucky to be among the family and friends of Dr. Joyce Meyer. And so this is and Diane and Danielle and Bruce, Ryan and Rory and Vic and all the people who are working so hard to put all these celebrations together. Thank you for this. Thank you for bringing us together. Bill is here with us in the room. He's with us wherever we go. And some of us haven't seen each other in a long time. Some of us are meeting each other for the first time, but we are all part of that community, that fabric that Bill Deacon's put together on this earth. So it is my job to sort of invite people up. There are some people who've already been told that they are going to give tributes, but then everybody in this room is also invited at the end to come up if you have a tribute that you'd like to give. Before I offer an opening prayer, and then I was told that I'm a modest prayer. But before I do that, I just had three thoughts on Bill. Three thoughts on what his example is for us in our career. My thoughts about Bill are that he is an institution builder, a path clearer, and a down-to-earth Bill. And when you hear the tributes from everybody else, each of them will speak to that and many other aspects of our friend. His example for us, first of all, taught us that each of us has a unique role and that we need to discern our role on this earth and then to embrace it with a passion, unapologetically. That we need to understand our power. It is never for any of us to sit on the sidelines and say, somebody needs to do something about that, right? So we have power to act, and Bill exemplified that in so many ways, and we'll hear that from the tributes. And finally, when we use our power, when we recognize our power and use it, we need to use it for the collective good. It's never by individual. So, let us pray. Dear Lord, we come this evening celebrating the life, the lessons, and the legacy of Dr. Bill Jenkins. Thank you for his presence on this earth, for our opportunity to know him, to love him, and to learn from him. Please give each of us the strength and vision to carry on in our own unique ways, never knowing the length of our days, understanding that our power is through you and through each other, and that each other is you, God. As we build a world in which all people, and in fact, in which all of God's creatures can flourish in peace and justice. Amen. So the first person to bring a tribute is Dr. Joe Valentine.
Doctor, just a social worker, and I have to start off by saying something personal. I felt like I had a serious loss when I learned that Bill was gone, and my work with him was some years back, but when I first came to CDC, what I remember is that he sort of took me under his wing. It was 1991. And I was brand new to the federal government. I came from the state and county government. And I remember that he had this incredibly empowered way of being at the CDC. And he gave me permission to be me. And I got to be me. And I've been at CDC almost 30 years now, 27, 28 years. He taught me how to be who I am. It didn't have to be him, but he taught me how to be me and how to stand for things and speak truth to power as nobody did better than Bill, and not be afraid to be the lone opinion in a room saying something that nobody else wants to hear. And so I want you to know how grateful I am for that, because I am sure that my success at CDC and my success as a public health professional is because of what your husband, your father, taught me. I didn't go to the School of Public Health. I'm an MSW, so I didn't learn public health in the public health institutions. But I learned it from people like Bill. And I'm very, very grateful. And I want you to know, before I read Dr. Redfield's letter, that there are so many people at CDC whose lives he touched and changed. And we are ever grateful for that beloved teacher, leader, and mentor. How we are and what we do at that agency is so incredibly influenced by his presence and his spirit. We will never lose it. He is not finished because he lives on in us. So I was actually asked to come and read Dr. Redfield's letter, but I have to do my own little testimony, so I hope that's okay. So I am reading the letter that was written by Dr. Robert Redfield, the agency director. Dr. Hazeldine would have been here, but unfortunately she had family conflict, and so she asked if I would come and read this letter. Dear Dr. Rowley, on behalf of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, please accept my deepest condolences for the loss of your husband, William Carter Jenkins. Bill was a highly respected professional who brought extraordinary dedication in his varied roles here at the agency. As one of the first African Americans to join the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps, he began his career as a trailblazer, and that continued for his entire tenure in public health. Bill was something of a legend, and he continued to provide extraordinary firsts everywhere he worked. As chief of the Research and Evaluation Statistics Section in the Division of Sexually Transmitted Diseases and HIV Prevention in the National Center for Prevention Services, he founded the Project Hemotep, an innovative source for recruiting undergraduate minorities underrepresented in public health professions. As an expert in epidemiology and prevention of sexually transmitted diseases among racial and ethnic minority groups, Bill managed the Minority Health Activities Program and the National Minorities Organization HIV Prevention Program. After his time at the Center for Prevention Services, he became a part of the National Center of HIV and STD, or NCHHSTP. Bill served as the supervisory epidemiologist in the Office of the Director. It was in that office that his storied career took him to one of the most impactful issues of his time here, ensuring the provision of medical services to the survivors of the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male. He was also later instrumental in the May 16, 1997 presidential apology for that infamous study. And in 2002, he worked to produce a documentary video with study survivors that was respectful of their experiences while also educating the public at large about what they had been through. But these are just a few of your husband's impacts in public health. His death is an incalculable loss to all of us. Bill was known as a forward thinker, and his teams relied heavily on his knowledge and experience. He will be remembered as someone who always put people first. Bill's colleagues appreciated his breadth of knowledge, and he was known for working tirelessly. In addition to his copious professional contributions, he is remembered by his teammates as a trusted mentor who was kind and a good friend to all. We are grateful for Bill's contributions to this agency and to public health. He will be greatly missed by those who knew him. And please know that our thoughts and prayers continue to be with you at this difficult time. Sincerely, Robert Redfield, MD. Thank you.
Thank you so much for bringing that tribute. And Dr. Dan Blumenthal, would you please come?
I was the chair of the Department of Community Health and Preventive Medicine at Morehouse School of Medicine for about 25 years. And for much of that time, I worked with Bill Jenkins. And I have to say that I was really, really honored when I was asked to speak at this program this evening. But I realized that even though I had worked with Bill, even though I admired Bill, and found him to be an exceptional individual, I really didn't know much about him. So I sent an email to the office over at the School of Medicine and asked for a copy of his CV. So that's what we do in academia. Got a curriculum vitae. And so I read it and I did learn a lot about him in some surprising ways. It's got his So this is the kind of microphone you have to sort of stick it in your mouth.
Right.
To be heard. So it had a list of places from which he has degrees: Morehouse College, Georgetown University, University of North Carolina, Harvard. A list of the things that he founded or helped found: the Public Health Sciences Institute at Morehouse College, Society for the Analysis of African American Public Health Issues, project named HOPE-TEP at Morehouse College, which is a program that teaches college students about epidemiology and public health. Started the annual Minority Health Conference at UNC, University of North Carolina, APHA Black Caucus of Health Workers, MPH program at Morehouse School of Medicine. You heard about his role in the presidential apology about the, what he always called the U.S. Public Health Service syphilis study at Tuskegee. There was a list of honors, things that demonstrated in what high esteem he was held by his peers. I'll just mention a couple of them. He was invited to do the opening general session at the as a keynote speaker at the 2010 meeting of the American Public Health Association. He has an honorary doctorate from the Medical University of South Carolina. That's a big deal. And there's more. Lectures, honors of various kinds. And then I got to the part that really surprised me. It's the part that has peer-reviewed publications. And there's usually, when you see an academic curriculum vitae of somebody who's at the professorial level at three academic institutions, as Bill was, there's usually a list of dozens and dozens of publications. Bill CV, there's five. But that can't be right. So I did a little PubMed search. This is, you can go online and find out all publications people have written, and you search by name, and I searched for Jenkins WC. I think I found another one or two. But he also published as Jenkins B. And I understood that because he always wanted to be called Bill. He once told me that if his mother ever called him William, he knew he was in trouble. So we'll go with five or six or seven or eight publications. And then I pause here to say that best word I can think of to describe Bill is the word mensch. It's Yiddish. It literally translated just means man. But when used in this context, it's a man of character, man of values and ethics. And that was Bill. And he did so much and wrote so little about it, but he did so much. People don't usually get appointed professor at academic institutions for being a mensch. But Bill is exceptional, and he was so appointed. So, as I was on my way over here this evening, I looked at the dogwoods and the azaleas, and I said, what a beautiful evening it is, and I wish Bill could have been here to enjoy it. And as Kamara said, maybe he is.
Thank you so much, Dan. The next tribute will be coming from Dr. Pat Rodden. And yes, we do have to get right up on this mic.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I am honored to be asked to pay tribute to Dr. William Bill Jenkins, a dedicated public health leader and advocate. I would like to first express my deepest condolences to his widow, Dr. Diane Rowley, and his daughter, Danielle Jenkins, family and friends. Like many of you here today, I got to know Bill first in a personal capacity and later on as a colleague. I am happy for the opportunity to share two reflections that stand out for me. I first met Bill and Diane in 1987 when I was a student at Emory University. I had just arrived and was staying with Billy Avery, the founder and president of the National Black Women's Health Project, when Diane and Bill visited with baby Danielle. They also invited me to a party later on at Dr. Helen Gale's home, former CEO of CARE, where I met many African American public health specialists. I had met Diane in 1983 when she and her mother, also Dr. Rowling, were part of the delegation of the National Black Women's Health Project, who came to Barbados for a joint Caribbean and African American Women's Health Conference. I completed my course of work and returned to Barbados to work on my thesis. In 1989, I immigrated to Canada where I obtained my PhD. During these years, I maintained my contacts with many people in Atlanta. In 1995, I was offered a position of deputy director and assistant professor at Morehouse School of Medicine. I arrived in Atlanta in June 1995, only to find out that we had 2 months to have the program developed and students interviewed and accepted by August. I was responsible for developing the international health track. Bill was the leading person in the overall development of the first public health program at an HBCU. He was also the expert advisor to several of the working groups. The core courses were set. The track coordinators were responsible for developing the required courses and electives. I developed a course on women's health and development. Bill challenged me on the relevance. He thought that a course on maternal and child health would be better suited. There was an intense debate, and I had to defend why the course I developed was more comprehensive. I won that vote, and as far as I know, it was the only course offered by any of the HBCU public health programs, and was certainly not offered when I was a student at Emory. This summarized an example of his leadership, which was significant. He listened to my defense, asked appropriate questions, and allowed all the faculty, whom I did not know, to vote on the course. This incident formulated and solidified our relationship as colleagues. From that day on, he often teased me about being a type A person. We accepted an inaugural class of 10 students that year. Bill, as many of you know, taught both the epidemiology and biostatistics for many years until we could recruit other faculty. He was always committed to the high standards for both our students and faculty. Another example was his leadership in the development of the Consortium of African American Public Health Programs, CAP, in 1999. The first meeting was held at Morehouse School of Medicine, and Dr. Yvonne Bronner was selected the chairperson. The objectives for the development of CAP was to support the newly emerging programs and then ensure that we supported each other in a variety of areas. Excuse me. This included an obtaining and maintaining accreditation, promoting joint research, collaborating on funding, and student and faculty development opportunities. When I took over the leadership of CAP in 2005, Bill was literally the first person to call and congratulate me and offered his support. He also introduced me to Dr. Brian Lindsay, who took over Bill's program at CBC. CAP members met during the American Public Health Association annual meeting. Bill often attended our meetings and dinners. At one of our meetings, Bill, Brian, and I discussed how we could make CAP an autonomous entity so that we could be less dependent on CDC funding. He supported the idea of developing an LLC and put me in contact with a lawyer to assist with the process. Like the MPH program, this was one of his favorite organizations. Bill's name is synonymous with excellence. Everyone knows Dr. Bill Jenkins. He has left a lasting legacy of accomplishments in public health. He was a mentor to several of the graduates from all the 7 consortium schools and programs. I am honored to have worked with him and to build a spirit of partnership. His legacy fills this room. May his spirit rest in eternity.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Rogers. Next, we'll have Dr. Stephanie Miles Richardson come to share her remarks.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It is an honor to be in this place. I'm here on behalf of the Consortium of African American Public Health Programs, but I will take a moment, if I may, to share my personal thoughts. I actually knew Bill first as a colleague, whereas, in fact, many of you are my mentors, so this is really strange. But I knew Bill as a colleague and became friends and sort of a mentee later at Imhotep. So every year for the last, I don't know how many years, decade or so, I've been teaching Imhotep, and Bill is Imhotep. So when I would come on campus, and I don't know if Dr. Trey would know this, but oftentimes Bill would just mill around campus under a tree. I may see him sitting over somewhere, and usually I'd go talk to him, and he would share the stories about his journey from where he was to where he was had become. And what I realized in that process is that perhaps I was following him, because the places that I have gone, he had gone already, which means that he had paved the way. And so I'm honored to be here. I'm currently director of the Master of Public Health Program that has his fingerprints on it. Dr. Rodney passed the baton to me that Bill passed to her, and Dan Blumenthal hired me to take that baton, so I'm very honored to be here. So Dr. Cynthia Harris, who is the chair of the consortium, was unable to be here, and she asked me to read a resolution on behalf of CAP, and I will. It reads, Consortium of African American Public Health Programs resolution in tribute to Dr. William C. Bill Jenkins. Whereas the Consortium of African American Public Health Programs, CAP, commends the life, legacy, and contributions to public health, pioneering vision, and leadership in the creation, development, and inaugural securing of funding for CAP by Dr. William C. Jenkins. And whereas Dr. William C. Jenkins was dearly loved, admired, and supported by CAP administrators, faculty, students, and staff for his fierce passion in addressing racial and ethnic health disparities. And whereas Dr. William C. Jenkins, as a renowned epidemiologist and public health leader, brought historical and organizational networks and insight to CAP that facilitated its collaboration and synergy to optimally impact sharing among the public health institutions that had already existed for many productive years. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Consortium of African American Public Health Programs lauds the legacy, friendship, and indelible impact that Dr. William C. Jenkins made, leaving his family, friends, community, and the field of public health education and practice better than he found them. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be given to the family to let them know that after living a full life, he is gone but not forgotten. On the 5th day of April, 2019, given by my hand as chair of the Consortium of African American Public Health Programs, CAP, and it is signed Cynthia Harris, CAP chair.
Thank you, Dr. Miles Richardson, for bringing your personal and the CAP tribute. And now from the city of Atlanta, I'd like to invite up Mr. Wayne Martin. I'd like to invite Dr. Sonia Hodges.
Good evening. I met Bill, so I'm going to share a personal perspective first before I represent the Atlanta City Council and read their proclamation.
Can you speak?
I might as well tell this story about Bill and how I first met him. And we were members of the American Public Health Association. I applied to the EIS program, and someone steered me toward Bill because at that time he was at CDC. So when I walked over to Bill, and I could tell you what he was wearing a white shirt and white painted pants and brown shoes. So he really looked like a public health frontline worker. So I was really intrigued by him. And I was telling him, oh, I applied to the EIS program, and this person wrote this letter of recommendation for me, and that person did this, and I went to this residency program. And I could just see in his mind that he was saying, okay, this upstart is telling me that she went to the right residency program, and she had the right letters of recommendation, but I'm going to tell her that it doesn't matter. So he stopped me in my tracks at that point and made me realize that yes, you have all these things, but there are other considerations, and racism is a big consideration. But luckily I did get into the EIS program and began to learn more about Bill, such that he became a family member of mine. My family loves Bill, and he loved them as well. My sister was with me at that first meeting of Bill, and they became great friends over the years. And in fact, I'm Danielle's godmother. So Bill, even though he thought I was a young upstart back then, we got to know each other in a way that we became family members. And the other thing I thought as I reflect on Bill is that he had the courage to love all of us and society, and to make it a better place. He's created what I consider the beloved community. Lots of people talk about the beloved community, but Bill was a creator of the beloved community. So I just wanted to make sure that we all knew that he loved us. That's why he always had that smile on his face. Always. Because he knew that he was working out of love. And so people in the greater Atlanta area knew who Bill was, and you saw him standing next to that building where they had his a painting of him there. But it was really interesting when I contacted the Atlanta City Council just to let them know that he had passed away, and they said, oh yeah, we heard about this, we really want to do something for him, and we can put together a proclamation. It usually takes about 30 days, but they were able to put this together in 2 weeks because of who Bill was and still is. So let me read the proclamation from the Atlanta City Council in honor of Dr. William C. Jenkins for his outstanding contributions to health and medicine. Whereas Dr. William C. Jenkins was born July 26, 1945 in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and went on to graduate from Morehouse College in 1967 with a bachelor's degree in mathematics, a master's degree in biological statistics from Georgetown University in 1974, a second master's degree in public health from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in 1977, and a doctorate degree in epidemiology also from the University of North Carolina in 1983. And whereas Dr. Jenkins began his career with the Centers for Disease Control in 1967, as one of the first African Americans to join the United States Public Health Service, Commissioned Corps, where he later became the center's first Equal Employment Opportunity Officer. In 1980, he joined the Division of Sexually Transmitted Diseases and HIV Prevention in the National Center for Prevention Services, where he served as chief of the Research and Evaluation Statistics Section. And in 1982, founded Project Imhotep,
a source for recruiting undergraduate, underrepresented minorities to the public health profession with CDC support. And whereas in 1988, Dr. Jenkins founded the Public Health Sciences Institute at Morehouse College with the mission of preparing underrepresented minority students for entry into graduate schools of public health. He also managed the Minority Health Activities Program and the National Minority Organization's HIV Prevention Program. And whereas in 1996, after the National Center for Prevention Services, Dr. Jenkins joined the National Center for HIV, STD, and TB Prevention to manage the Participant Health Benefits Program that ensured the provision of medical services to the survivors of the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro man. He was instrumental in obtaining an official apology from President Bill Clinton on behalf of the U.S. government in 1997, and in 2002, he worked with producers on a documentary about survivors of the study. And whereas Dr. Jenkins retired from the Centers for Disease Control in 2003, but continued his service as a professor of public health sciences and associate director of the Research Center on Health Disparities at Morehouse College, allowing him to develop graduate and undergraduate students in biostatistics, epidemiology, and public health. He also consulted on the development of public health programs at other historically black colleges and universities and led community-based participatory research. He also served as an adjunct professor of epidemiology at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill Gilman School of Global Public Health. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the members of the Atlanta City Council, on behalf of the citizens of Atlanta, do hereby honor the memory of Dr. William C. Jenkins for his outstanding contributions to the world as a public health researcher, educator, and leader. It's signed first by Felicia A. Moore, who's the president of the Atlanta City Council, and then it's signed by all the other members of the Atlanta City Council, and their 13 members.
Thank you, Dr. Hutchins, for bringing your own remembrances as well as this wonderful city proclamation. At this time, I would like to invite any other people in the room to bring a 1 minute each remembrance or something to make us laugh or to say, oh yeah, I knew that about Bill too, or oh, I didn't know that at all. So is there anybody in this section who would like to come and bring such a remembrance? Please come.
Good evening. I stand before you because of Bill Jenkins. I met him in Chapley Hall my freshman year. I gave him grief for being on my campus in evening hours and wanted to know why he was there. Bill Jenkins explained to me what epidemiology was, something I'd never heard of. What public health was, something else I'd never heard of. I was a freshman. Because of Bill, I participated in the biometry summer program at UNC Chapel Hill at the Rollins School of Public Health up there. And later, I was a participant in Project Imhotep in the summer of 88, and Sonia was my preceptor. So all because of Bill, I wound up taking a turn in what I thought was going to be my future, my career, into a career in public health. So when I was getting my master's in Birmingham, and we studied the Tuskegee syphilis study in class, and I became a bit outraged, I remember going home that evening and calling Bill. What is this, and why is it, and how is it? I was just, I didn't know what to do with those emotions, and so I figured he would be just the perfect receptor. And Bill, being Bill, chuckled. He laughed. He was amused at my outrage. But at the same time, he talked me back down and was able to put things in perspective. And it's like, okay, now focus and study. Get out of there. So I later went on to get a doctorate of public health and disease control and have been working in HIV, TB, and system strengthening around the globe, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa, but also Asia, a bit of Eastern Bloc, a little bit of Central and South America. So though we're here for a sad occasion, I must reiterate that the reason I stand before you today is very much because of Bill James.
Thank you.
Dr. Tita Monique James.
Anybody else in this section? Yes.
My relationship with Bill is really different from what I've been hearing. When I first met Bill, he was very uneventful. He was a junior at Morehouse from South Carolina with a talk funny, math major. And I'm from Chicago with an afro and wide rimmed glasses, part of the Student Liberation Front. So, you know, we met each other, but we didn't really know each other. We ran in different circles. Only later did we become friends. I'm a professor at Morehouse, and I chair the Division of Science and Mathematics. And I would see Bill occasionally come to Morehouse because of Imhotep. And we started talking, and we got to be friends. But I can remember at times, I would go to my wife and I said, you know what Bill said was right on target. And then other times I would say, Bill, what he said didn't make a bit of sense. He was like that. And then finally I'll just say this, and Bill was having, when he came to Morehouse, he was having conflicts with the dean. And I said, Bill, and I was chair of the psych department then, and I said, well, look, Bill, you need to, you know, if you want to get some kind of, you know, be political. Politically correct. And he just smiled. And you know, the thing about Bill, he was smiling, but his eyebrows were very animated. So we were in a division meeting, and our dean was very conservative. And he said something we were going to do. And Bill got up, and I said, uh-oh. Bill said, why do we have to act like old-time Negroes? And I just, but I wanted to laugh, but I told my wife, I said, Bill was right on target then.
And tell us all your names, not everybody.
Oh, yeah, I'm Dwayne Jackson.
I'm Vic Schoenbeck, and I have so much to say about Bill that it's hard to find a minute in all of it. I met him in the 1970s, probably 1977, when he was a student in the Department of Epidemiology, and I entered in the fall of 1977, and we joked about Abdul Umran, who was his advisor. But I didn't really get to know him then, and of course he wasn't around for most of the 1980s. But in 1991, I was asked to chair the Minority Affairs Committee of the American College of Epidemiology, which was a joke, of course, I thought. But I asked Sherman James, and Sherman said, no, Vic, you do it, because you'll do what we tell you to, and we won't have to put in the time. So that seemed like a good solution. I was fine with that. And I said, well, who should be on the committee? He said, well, Bill Jenkins. So I said, oh, yeah, okay, Bill. So Bill Jenkins was on the committee, one of the founding members, and a number of other people, Gladys Reynolds, and so on. And so I got to know Bill over the years. And one of the things I discovered was that here I was in minority health, and people would look at me, and especially African Americans, people are uncomfortable, and I'd say, well, you know Bill Jenkins, don't you? And they'd say, yeah. I said, well, I'm a friend of Bill Jenkins. And all of a sudden, it was an honor. So I realized I could build my network by just going around and trading on Bill, which I did. And then I realized what I should be doing is spending my time advertising Bill, documenting Bill. And so I have hours and hours and hours of video recordings of Bill and audio recordings of Bill, conversations he had in the hallway, classes that he taught, presentations that he gave, interviews, and I've got it all on a website, go.unc.edu/Bill Jenkins, except for the classes. I can't put them up because it's purple. But I'm hoping that there will be somebody who can do a documentary about Bill and can take advantage of the store of video and audio that I have. I've also been trying to figure out his CV, because I noticed that there are things, he had a CV in 1992 or 1991 that has things on it that have dropped off the new version, important things that somehow he didn't think it was worth carrying on. So I'd love to get the other people who want to document Bill, and I'll share all the stuff that I have.
And tell us your name, everybody.
I'm Dick Schoenbeck.
Okay, anybody else in this little group right here? Okay, we're going to this section. Anybody who wants to bring a tribute from here? Going once, going twice. Anybody? Oh, there's one. And then we'll come back to you. I know.
I'm Frank Richards. I met Bill in 1982 when I came to CDC as a EIS officer. And as everyone has talked about, Bill oozed leadership. He's a leader. So I just want to offer two quotes that came to mind on leaders. The first one is, leaders help great people become what they were born to do. I think we hear a lot of that here. That's the idea of a leader as a servant. The second quote that comes to mind is, leadership is easy. Do what you believe in. Paint a picture for the future. Go there. People will follow. That's the idea of a leader as a visionary. Servant and visionary.
Tom, you had something that you wanted to say.
I'm Dwayne Cooper, associate professor and chair of the Department of Mathematics here at Morehouse. I almost didn't come up because I just want to share because I thought of Bill today. Because most of you don't know, it was an admitted student's day here at the college. High school students who've been admitted, show them the campus, hope they'll join us in August. And our undergraduates who were helping the high school seniors all had on t-shirts and they said servant leader. So much so, I called one over. I said maybe they were associated with tonight's program, but I called them over. That was just the thing, the message they wanted to impart to the seniors, to the high schoolers who were here today. So anyway, and Bill was the one who introduced me to that phrase about a decade or so ago. I had the pleasure of working with him when he was here and knowing him. And he was telling me about someone else. Wasn't he talking about himself? It's someone else. But he was impressing upon me this phrase. Servant leadership, and just made me think of him today. It's very much who he was and what he was.
Amen. Is there anyone else who has something they'd like to share? Well, before I turn things over to Diane, I just wanted to circle. Oh, where? Oh, come over. But introduce yourself.
Laurie Elam Evans, and didn't know if I would be able to get up and say anything. But I knew Bill for 35 years and met him a January afternoon in 1984 when I was taking his epidemiology class. I was a junior at Spelman College. I was a junior biology pre-med major. But I didn't really think that med school was what I wanted to do. So within about 5 minutes of Bill telling me the definition of epidemiology, which we had to memorize, and we had it on the test, and talking about all these wonderful things that epidemiologists could do, I said, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do when the light bulb went off. And then he brought us to CDC to listen to a lecture of an EIS officer. Helen Gale was that EIS officer. And she talked about the wonderful things that she had done as an EIS officer and all of the opportunities. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. So in a moment, that person changed my life totally. And everything that I've done, I owe to him. He took me under his wings. I was his, let's see, I did a practicum under him during my senior year at Spelman. I was in MOTEP, and so that was one of the first classes of MOTEP. Everybody's talking about this program. I was one of the first students in the program and absolutely loved it. And then after I finished my master's program, he facilitated my opportunity to come to CDC, and I was the coordinator of MOTEP. And I was a project officer when MOTEP became a cooperative agreement at CDC. And so one thing that Bill taught us was he taught us public health, he taught us epidemiology, but he taught us about life too. In 2009, I had the opportunity to to introduce Bill when the epidemiology section of APHA awarded him with the teaching award. And I remember how nervous I was, and I was looking around, and the last person I looked at was Bill, and he had a smile, and then that second, all of the nerves went away because I was talking about this experience of this person who had been so wonderful. And the presentation and the introduction was lessons for a lifetime. And that's really what he did. He did for so many. And I'll have to tell a funny story. I was telling Diane and Danielle that I was the first order. Because I was around and, you know, we had me working on evenings and on Saturdays. So I was glad when Danielle came around. He said, okay. He'll have his own door. So anyway, I'm glad to have met Bill. I'm the person I am because of Bill. And I really appreciate this celebration. And, you know, people have talked about, you know, he took them under their wings. You know, I was thinking I was the only special one. Okay, so he did that to everybody. So anyway, I'm so glad that I was able to kind of articulate these words that I didn't think would be able to come out. But I'm so appreciative of everything he's done and everything he is. And his legacy will live on because we are his legacy.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Is there anyone else? I think I was going to say something, but I have to let Lori's words stand. And so now I'd like to invite Dr. Diane Rowley to come forward.
Thank you so much for coming this evening. So it's been very touching.
Take your time.
Make sure of my emotions. Albert? First, let me thank Lori for that beautiful slideshow. And thank your family for helping me get it together. It's really very precious. We'll have a long time and enjoy it. And thank you to all the other speakers who are here and everybody who came. And I want to give a very special thank you to Brian Lindsay. Brian has been a wonderful person, an amazing support system, and has done a terrific job over the last few weeks putting together
this program, what, working with the Quakers for the memorial service that we had a few weeks ago, and planning this, and we're going to have a wonderful tribute tomorrow, thanks to Brian. You just can't imagine how much work he's done. It's just amazing. And Bill made you work like that. Gift I wanted to present to Brian and his wife right now.
I saw Diane with his bag earlier, and I was like, maybe I should ask her if she wants me to hold her bag. it's been my pleasure.
Get up the mic, please.
Okay. That's one of my peeves, folks who talk in the mic and you still can't hear them. So thank you for reminding me to speak into the mic. I met Bill Jenkins on my very first day at CDC in 1987. And he told me that, he said, well, if you stick around, more than likely we'll get a chance to work together. And indeed we did. He was my supervisor twice during my career. And I thank God because, you know, sometimes when you run into people, you don't know the impact that they might or could have in your life. But I knew from day one that Bill was a person that I needed to get to know and stick around. And I'm just so thankful for all of the many lessons that he taught me. One funny thing comes to mind. We were traveling. I had an earlier flight. I got to DC, and when I looked for my wallet, I didn't have it. So I told the clerk at the hotel, I said, well, my supervisor is coming on a later flight, and as soon as he gets here, everything will be okay. So Bill comes into the hotel, and he said,
Brian, guess what? I forgot my watch.
I said, okay, well, you need to talk to that later, right? And so, Diane, you may not remember, but you had to FedEx. You did Delta Dash, and I had to get my cousin to go in my house and get my wallet. And so, the next day, we were fine. But Bill was a great person to work with. We disagreed about a lot of things almost every day, but we were never disagreeable. And we had a pact that if there was something that I had done that he really didn't like, he would say, and I don't like eggs and grits. And he would come by my office and say, I'm going to buy you breakfast. You're eating eggs and grits. Let's go. He would have this big, wonderful breakfast, and I would watch him eat the breakfast. When he did something that I didn't particularly like, I would say, okay, Bill, it's time for a smoke break. And so neither one of us smoked, but he would say, okay, do you have the cigarettes? I said, yeah. We're smoking my brand. But I enjoyed Bill immensely. He would say things that I thought were way out of range. And things like, I'm going to get health disparities on the agenda for APHA. I was like, what? It's not going to happen. And he did. And he did that. The other thing that he did well, he would send folks to you who needed mentoring. And he expected you to do that. And he expected those who he brought along to reach back and get someone else. And I hope that we will continue to do that to keep his legacy alive. Thank you.
There's still food and cake in the other room. So, you know, I've been inundated with wonderful friends who brought me lots of food the last few weeks. My refrigerator just got emptied out, and so I would love it if you all took stuff back with you home so that I don't have to fill my refrigerator back. So thank you.
I just wanted to say one thing, because I didn't talk about how I met Bill, and I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about how long I knew him. Almost every single thing I've done, he went before. So I want to come back to the three ideas I had about Bill as lessons for us to go forward. The first is that Bill is clearly an institution builder. We've heard about all the many things that he started. And when you think about institution builders, you may think about people who plant seeds, but there are different kinds of seeds that we can plant. You can plant seeds for annuals, annual flowers that come up, but then they die and you have to plant a seed the next year. Or you can plant seeds for perennials. You plant them one time and they keep coming back each year, but they come back the same. Or you can plant seeds for trees. Trees. So I think Bill would have all of us plant seeds for trees. So that's as an institution builder. The second thing I said about Bill is that he is a path clearer. And I just want to give you a little idea about that. Some people, when they are walking through life, or even walking through the woods, might come across a stick and step over it. Other people will come across a stick and pick it up and move it out of the way. That's the difference in our walk. So I think that Bill would want all of us to become path clearers, to make a way for those coming behind us. And the third thing about Bill is that he was very down to earth, and we all know that. And so we need to connect to each other in real ways. We need to connect to each other with our full selves as we go forward as a community. So Diane, Danielle, everybody who's contributed to this, Bill, thank you for bringing us all together. Let's go get the rest of that food. Thank you very much.
I think showing emotion about Bill was okay.
Oh, before you leave, there was a request if everybody could get on the stage or in front of the stage for a large photo. I don't know who's going to take it.